Well, good morning. My mic is on. My mic is on. How are you guys? We're a loving church here. It's so awesome. Like, you guys greet before a lot, and now you're greeting then. It's awesome. So cool to see that. Oh, man. So, I'm so glad I'm here. I get to speak with you guys again. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Kyle. Well, it's Kyle Roberts, but you can call me Pastor Kyle or whatever you want, or hey, you guy, and come over here and help me. But I'm really excited about this morning. We get to read the Word of God given to us from tons of authors, all collectively written by the Holy Spirit, and we get to reach into that and gain what God has for us. We get to be together in this building that is air-conditioned, and we have seats that are here, and we get to wear our clothes that are all nice. You guys are all look so nice. Go ahead and give yourselves one of these things. Like, yeah, I look good. I'm so glad to be here. It's such a blessed life. I love being part of this church, and it's an honor and a privilege to speak with you. Pastor Brian has given me the pulpit, as they say, and I'm really excited. So as we delve into this, you can pull out your Bibles, pull out your phones, pull out your iPads. We can follow on the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. If you want to go there, you can find scripture, or you can follow along with our stuff. We're live right now on that, and we have all the scriptures and relative notes in there if you want. But we're going to go to two passages of scripture. You can go to Acts. We're going to go Acts first, Acts chapter 27, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 14. But before we do that, I think we should kind of, even though God's here, let's invite him into our hearts and into our minds, shall we? As we read the word, let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity, that we get to worship, that we get to honor you and praise you, and that you pour into us. You don't have to, and Lord, we thank you so much for doing that. And I thank you for your word that we get to learn together and just get blessed by your knowledge, your truth, your love, your commitment, your promises. And so we thank you so much for that. And Lord, I just pray right now that everyone here, including myself, Lord, would, as we read your word, Lord, that we would gain a special revelation for ourselves, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our minds, speak to our hearts, and give us a fresh revelation of your truth and your love as we read the word this morning. Amen? Amen. All with me? Amen. All right, you guys are with me. All right, so my fave verse for this morning can be found in Acts chapter 27, verses 42 and 43. So let's read that, and then we'll kind of dive in. So, verse 42. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or on broken pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Now maybe as you're reading that, your first thought is, that's a little out of context. There's got to be some kind of story. They're jumping into the water now. They're on a broken ship. What's going on? And we're going to get into that. But I really want to talk this morning about broken pieces and kind of what that means. I've gone through this. We're in it at different parts of our life and our journey. And in some areas of our life, we're doing great. But in other areas, we have broken pieces. Or even we can feel broken. And all through life, I think we're on a journey, on a boat heading across the sea, and we don't know when or even how we're going to make it ashore. We can be scared, we can be tired, we can be lost, we don't understand why we're here. Sometimes we can be there because we're obeying God. We're following his direction, either spoken directly to our lives or the direction that we gain the knowledge from the Bible, and yet we're in this place where we are uncomfortable, where we're stuck, where we're sad, where we don't understand what's going on, where we're afraid. And in the midst of all of that, we can ask, Lord, why? What's going on? Why is this my life? Why do others, when we compare to other people, why does their life look so good? And what's going on with mine? And this morning, as we talk about broken pieces, I want to say one main thing to you. God cares about people more than he cares about a project. God cares about you, and that might not make sense right now, because I haven't really said much, and we've read a scripture that's kind of out of context, but I want that to just be put in your mind. God cares more about people than he does about a project, and as we go through this, as we go into Matthew, we're going to see this kind of come out. All right, you with me? All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start at verse 22. It's a very, very well-known scripture from a lot of us. Some of us might not know it. I didn't know it for a long time, and then you kind of hear it along the ways. There's got a lot of elements to it that are there. It's got Peter, who's really charismatic. It's got this really cool kind of miracle and stuff. But I'm kind of wasting time as you guys are all flipping. So hopefully we're there in Matthew. I'm going to go on now. So this is a story about how Jesus is walking on the water and how Peter goes out and reaches him. So let's read this first section. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he, Jesus, dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. So we're going to stop there for a second. So first, Jesus is walking on water. Jesus is walking on water. Okay, so imagine if Pastor Brian had come in, and we all know there's water here, it's deep and stuff, you saw it just happen. He walked in and he was just his feet, his head's up here. Like, we'd be flipping out. It's crazy. Oh my gosh. And that's a lot of times what we focus on this miracle. Jesus is walking on water. It's so cool. And so we've heard it a million times, like, yeah, Jesus is walking on water. What? So he's doing this, but Jesus did lots of miracles, didn't he? He didn't fly, though. He didn't, like, jump, you know, 10-story buildings in a single bound and all that kind of stuff. So why is Jesus walking on water? He's done all these things. Usually it's casting out demons, healing people, restoring their sight, giving them forgiveness, all these things, lifelong diseases, curing leprosy, all these crazy things. And it's for a purpose. It's for a plan. There's something there that he's blessing the people for. But in this miracle, we often kind of glance over it. It's like he's just walking on water. He's just hanging out. He's going, oh, the boat's over there. I got to walk on water to get to him. Right? Jesus doesn't do miracles for himself. Even when he changed the water into wine, kind of for his mom, for the party, there was a purpose behind that too. So as we read this, I stopped as this kind of shined out to me, what was the purpose for Jesus walking on water? What was the purpose of that miracle? Just have that in your heads as we go on. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. Imagine 12 burly fishermen on a boat, pretty kind of small boat, but they're all on there in the midst of the waves and sea going, "Ah! There's a ghost!" That's what's going on. Okay, some of them, maybe. They cried out. Anyways, they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." That phrase, "do not be afraid," "fear not," it comes up a lot in the Bible. It comes up when Joshua meets the messenger of God. It comes up when the angel speaks to Mary, when he speaks to Joseph, when Jesus is coming. And all throughout the prophets, there's when the messenger of God coming to bring an important message, an important information, an important calling to someone else, a direction that will change the course of history and their life. Do not be afraid. It's okay. We're often afraid, aren't we? And sometimes we have to calm that fear for us to receive what God has to speak to us. Jesus came as the messenger of God on that water to say something important. And this is what he says. And Peter answered him, I love Peter, "Lord, if it is you," you can just imagine, like, "if it is really you and not a ghost," as he's cowering underneath like the sheets, "command me to come to you on the water." And this is what the messenger of the Lord, bringing an important, life-changing call, says. He said, "Come." That's it. We can be in the midst of a storm. They were in this situation that they did not like. They were uncomfortable. And the messenger of the Lord calls him with one word, come into a more impossible, more fearful, where you're in less control than you were before situation. Can you imagine that? Waves and storms and winds are coming and you are in a boat trying desperately to get to the other side of this crazy sea, and Jesus calls you out of that boat onto the water to walk on the water. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. So as I said before, the disciples were in this situation. Let me just ask you, this is not rhetorical, raise your hand or just shout it out. Why were the disciples in this situation? Why were they in the storm, in the waves? Why were they physically there? Time frame, we read it at the very beginning. Jesus sent them there. They're not just there and Jesus is like, "Oh shoot, my disciples, they did something kind of, now I gotta go save them." That's not what happened. Before, he sent them into the sea with the waves and the wind. Now, I can't be for certain, because Jesus is fully man, but he's also fully God. Jesus only does, we know this, Jesus only does what the Father tells him to do. Right? We know that scripture. He says that. So whether Jesus knew it or God told him to do it and didn't know it, Jesus sent them knowingly into the sea where there was storm and waves. Whether God told him, "Hey, send them over here. It's going to be waves and storm. You're going to have to go do this thing. But go and do this." Or Jesus knew that there were waves and sea. He's like, "You know what? I'm going to do this with them." Because there's a purpose. Jesus didn't care about the plan or the project of the disciples going to the other side of the shore. Obviously, that will happen. It does. But he cared more about the people. He could have said, "No, just go around, walk around the sea, or wait till tomorrow. There's going to be a storm. We'll do it all. You can chill with me here, and maybe I'll take you across the water. And we can all walk in like a line or something," right? But he doesn't. And they obeyed, and they're in that situation because of their obedience. And we, in our lives, many of us are in situations where we look back at our choices and know that we've obeyed God. We know we've made the right decision. Why am I here then? Because God cares about you. And we're going to find out why. They were there in that situation. And Jesus calls Peter out to walk. And I love that this is that he does it. Peter does it. Isn't that huge? That's the first thing. He does it. We have to step out. And that is so scary, like I said before, into an even more impossible situation. But he falters. We're going to falter. We've all heard that before, and I want to reemphasize it. Don't feel like you're a failure just because you think you've made a mistake or you have actually made a mistake. God is right there willing to take your hand. Peter reached out for God. Often we just drown. And we don't reach out for the Jesus that's there because we are too ashamed of our mistake. God wants to tell someone specifically this morning, reach out to God even in the midst of your failure, even in the midst of your sin, because he's going to take your hand and lift you up, and you're going to walk on water with him. Amen? Amen? You receive that? I want you to receive that this morning. Anyways, I'm getting teared up. All right, we're going to move on. We can be in that same situation. We can be in that same situation. I didn't know why I was in that situation. And when I was younger, we moved to a new church. I was 11, I think, 10 or 11. Excuse me. I was like 10 or 11, and we moved to this new church. It was the church that I served at, and I actually left to come here, and it's been such a blessing to be here. But I was at that church when I was 11 or 12, and after a year, I moved into the youth group. And I wanted to be part of the youth group so bad. I wanted to be part of the youth group, and then when I got there, I wanted to serve on the worship team or on something, but I couldn't play anything at that time. I didn't have a voice at all. I still don't really have a voice, but I didn't really have a voice like at all then. I didn't have to sing at all. I'd grown up listening to my mom sing, and I was like, I can't sing at all. And so I wanted to do sound. I could do sound at the youth group, right? That was basically turning it on and like putting a few mics and levels up and then just like letting it go. But they let me do it. And I'd like fiddle and I'd get stuff. My dad had taught me how to do sound before. So I was there and I would do sound. And 1 week, years later, and I was doing that. And I wanted to serve. I wanted to serve. I wanted to serve. And then I wanted to serve even more. I wanted to be part of the worship team. So I started learning the guitar when I was 17. It was towards the end. And I started learning the guitar and I picked it up a little bit. And then one day, a few of the band members couldn't come on Wednesday. And so the worship leader asked me if I could play. She asked me if I could play. I'm like, I can kind of play. I've kind of been smacking it with a a pick for a while. And so she's like, no, let's just do it. Just come up here. There's nobody else. Okay. And so it was basically her leading an a cappella thing. But I did strum. I was just on power chords. I don't know if anyone knows that, but they're really simple, easy chords. And I just did that. And I just wanted to serve. And from that, I grew this passion into wanting to serve. I wanted to become the worship leader. I wanted to do more. But the youth pastor at that time, as I grew older, for whatever reason, wouldn't let me lead worship. Even when like the worship leader wasn't there sometimes, I wouldn't lead. And there was other times where, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I just felt very put down. But I felt called to that youth group. There was some arrogance in me. I thought I was good enough to do certain things and everything like that. But there was this situation where I'm there, I'm obeying God, I'm trying to fulfill my purpose. I want to serve. I thought I was doing the right thing. At that point, I kind of wanted to serve for myself. But I wanted to serve, and I thought I was doing the right thing, and I was there. But I was obeying God to that calling, and I just couldn't get through it. Why am I stuck? So I started thinking about myself. Am I doing something wrong? Where am I doing it? Am I not good enough? Am I a failure? What's happening? Why can't I do what I think, Lord, you're calling me to do? I wanted to be part of something so bad. So I thought maybe I should leave, maybe I should go. But it was always no. Stay here, stay the course. God was telling me to stay. So why does God do this? That's a personal story. We've read a biblical story. Hopefully you can apply it to your own story. Why does God do this? What's going on? It was not until like years later that I discovered from other leaders that had come before me that were also denied, and they just left. When they got to a place and they were denied, they left the youth group. That she was just in this pattern where she didn't want anyone else to have control and power, and there's a little unhealth there and some of the things that were going on. That's not to say it's a sob story. I look back at that with joy now because it birthed a passion in me that would not have been there. I would have grown up entitled, arrogant, thinking that I deserve this because I am good enough because it's about me. And God wants to work us through those things. Because God could have easily, right? We think, why, Lord, why don't you make this easy? He could have removed that youth pastor. He could have done away. He could have shown the unhealth and put someone else, or who knows, worked on their heart to just let me do what I wanted to do in my arrogance at that point, whatever it was. Same way with God at the boat. Going back to Peter, God could have walked over to Peter, told them to calm down, calmed the storm, looked into Peter's eyes, took his hand, he's on the water, they're in the boat. Peter, okay, I'm going to lift you up, I'm going to take you onto the water, you're going to walk, it's okay, I'm going to hold your hand the whole time, but make sure you look at me, because if you look away at the stuff that's around, oh, wait, never mind, we'll just get rid of the storm, make it super easy, so you don't get distracted, just stay on me, and I'm going to lift you up, I'm going to put you on the water, okay, we're good, we're here, it's done, yay, and then they go across. Jesus could have totally done that, but he didn't. A lot of us, I think, I know I have done this. I even do this now. I caught myself doing this just a few days ago. God, why don't you just do this? Why don't you make this easier? You've told me to do this. Why can't you just eliminate this problem? Whatever it might be, right? My thing was a stupid car tire that blew out. I was just like, what? But, you know, that's just whatever. But we have things bigger in our lives where, and even those small things, teaching us patience, trust, etc. And why does God do this? And I think it's because God understands that there is a difference between knowing something and being something. Because we can answer test questions correctly, especially us adults, and we've kind of been bred into this by our culture and our school system, which is not bad. It's just as how it is, how we get ahead and how we make our AA pluses. We know the right answers and we mark them on the test. We know how to get through that. But we don't live that, and it's so much different now with emotions and with situations and with character. Because there's a difference, and God knows this. God knows this, and he wants to train us into something that is great. Because when we walk on this path with the Lord, and if we're walking with the Lord, sometimes we can think it's even harder. Like, Before, it was easier. I was doing my own thing, and there was no pressure. Now that I'm walking with the Lord, it might be harder. Why aren't you? There's more questions. I'm obeying you. Isn't there supposed to be blessing? We have expectations. We have assumptions. All this different stuff can come about. But as we walk with God, there's a change that happens. We've opened ourselves up to the master builder, to the master potter, and he wants to form us into something wonderful and beautiful and amazing. He wants you to be the best you can be. And in Hebrews 12:6, it says this, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives," or daughter, "whom he receives." And in 1 Peter 4, it says this, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." Rejoice as you share sufferings. Rejoice when his glory is revealed. His glory is revealed as we suffer, as we go through, and as the heat is there so the dross can be cleaned, as the pressure is there so the oil can be pressed out of the olive. That's where the glory and the health comes from. Because God doesn't care about comfort. He cares about character. Let that sink in. God doesn't care about your comfort in so much as he cares about your character. I am not perfect at all. I think you all know that. I know that. Sometimes I think that incorrectly to my wife, and she tells me that I am wrong. Correctly. But I am not perfect. I'm not even good. Only God is good. We're not perfect. And God knows that. And he's very okay with that. He is very, very okay that we are imperfect. And I know we are talking about broken pieces. We're going to come around to that in just a second. He loves us so much. He wants to be with us and give us a purpose, even in our brokenness. Even when the people around us are broken, we are all broken pieces here. And God uses all of that for his plan, for each other, where we will all get to shore. You might be in a storm or in wind. You might be in a place where you feel like you're drowning and the only thing around you are broken pieces. And you couldn't possibly think, how is this going to be possible? God is going to do that. So we're going to go back to Acts 27 and 43. We're going to read that one more thing. I'm going to give you a little context. This is my favorite verse. "On planks or on broken pieces of the ship, and so it was that all were brought safely to land." God can get you to shore on broken pieces. Now, I want to give a little background. Paul and the ship had been through storms. One of the biggest storms in recorded history, according to them, kind of a thing, back then. It was an insane, crazy hurricane. Okay? Paul was on the ship, and as you heard the centurion, and there were chains and all that stuff, kind of didn't get a lot of context. Paul was on a ship. He's a prisoner. He obeyed what God said and was preaching the gospel and giving the word of the Lord and spreading love, and then he was imprisoned. And now he's on a ship being taken to somewhere else in chains as a prisoner, and the ship gets blown off course. Hurricane after hurricane, just enormous winds and waves. It's crazy. 14 days pass. You can read all about it. I encourage you to go read Acts chapter 27 and 28. It's an amazing story. But he stopped. They don't eat for 14 days, and then they finally eat. Then their ship runs aground and just totally gets destroyed. So they're in this horrible situation at the storm, but at least their ship is going on. In fact, they're doing so much, they're wrapping ropes around the ship's hull so it doesn't break. It's so crazy. They're trying to keep it together. Then they get stranded, and they can't go anywhere, and then they're starving and all this different stuff. And when you can't think it's going to get any worse, the ship falls apart and just gets destroyed. And yet, all of them get to shore safely. Paul was faithful, he had hope, and he knew, and he trusted God, and he told them, it's going to be okay. We're going to get to shore. God's going to do it. None of us are going to die. None of you are going to die. All right? God's going to get us all to shore. It's going to happen. And as hard as that situation was for me back in youth, as I said before, God got me to shore. And it wasn't this horrible thing that happened. It built character. She might have been totally obeying God in doing that because God wanted me to build and be curbed of that arrogance. And we have things that God wants to work out in us even if it's uncomfortable. And usually, just like when we read, when we finish Acts chapter 7 and we go into Acts chapter 28, it's after that hardship, that pain, that we see the greatest blessing happen. Paul got stranded on an island where he got bit by a crazy poisonous snake. It didn't harm him at all. He was able to meet the leader of the tribes of that island, pray for him, heal him of a deadly disease, and witness to an entire people. It's awesome. Right after, right when we see ourselves through with trust and hope, through that storm, when we get to the shore on broken pieces, as we are with those around us holding together, God's going to get us there, and there will be blessing. There will be opportunity. God's getting you through that for a reason. Often, we want the storm and the wind and the things to stop, but it's that hardship, that storm, those challenges that we don't want, that uncomfort that we want to get rid of and that sometimes we're even praying against, that get us to the destination that God wants us to be at. Paul would never have gone to that island. Let that sink in. God has you in that situation for a reason. He's not only going to get you through it, he's getting you through it for a reason because he cares more about your character and who you are than your comfort. That's why that's one of my favorite verses. And that's why I want you guys to know this morning, God cares about you wherever you're at. He is going to get you to shore, no matter how broken your situation seems. Amen. Can we bow our heads? Can we pray? Can we respond to the Lord this morning? Thank you, God.
You know, this morning as we talked about being in the middle of a storm, some of us feel like our lives are like a storm. That we're not on a boat. There's things that are going on around us that are out of our control. Things that we wish would go a different way. And maybe you're in the middle of something this morning. Something that's scary, something that's big, something that has you feeling stuck or maybe without hope as the men on that boat felt. And I believe that this word is a fresh reminder for all of us. A new reminder for someone in the house today, maybe you've never heard it before, that God has not abandoned you. He's not forgotten about you. That even though you're going through a storm or a difficult situation, he hasn't left you. He hasn't forgotten you. He cares about you. And he does care about what you're going through. He does care about what you're enduring. He does care about you. And though, like a good father, he does want you to be safe, he does care about us in the middle of our storms and produces things in us in the middle of our difficult situations that otherwise would not be able to be produced in us. See, I believe God is reminding us this morning that he's more concerned with our character than he is with our comfort. He cares about your comfort, but he's more concerned with the character that it produces in you. Perhaps you're going through a storm and like Peter, you feel like, God, I need to walk on water right now. I need a miracle. I need something to get me through this season. And this morning, I just want to pray for you, if that's you, if you're going through something or maybe you have in the past. See, the Lord reminds us this morning that even when the boat breaks up, even when things go sideways and don't go the way we want, that he can get us to safety. So if that's you, I want to pray for you. Father, we just thank you that no matter what life throws our way, no matter what storms come, you don't cause all the storms to come our way. Sometimes we blindly step into the wrong things. We go the wrong ways. We find ourselves facing consequences that are our own faults. Sometimes they're outside of our control. But either way, in the middle of those storms, God, we thank you that you come with us. Just as the disciples were freaked out in the middle of that storm, you came walking by. And you meet us in our situations. Lord, I pray for any man, woman, or child that's in the middle of this room, that you're going through something. Be reminded that Jesus He can walk on water. He can walk right into the middle of your storm. And Lord, we thank you that your word to Peter is your word to us. He says, don't be afraid. And no matter where we are in our season, God, we thank you that you can get us home safely, that you can accomplish more in our storms than we could ever accomplish in the calm waters. So God, we thank you for that. I pray that you just remind us of your truth this morning, that you love us, that you care for us, that we are more important than the situations we're going through. We thank you for that, Lord. Finally, this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I believe some of you are here and you may need to take your very first step of faith, and that's to receive God's gift of forgiveness and grace for the first time. So the Bible says no matter how many times we've blown it, whether in a big way or a small way, the truth remains that God has paid the way for you to be made whole, to be restored, to be made new, to be given a new life. But the question is, will we receive it? Will you receive it today? If that's you, and today you say, I don't have a relationship with God. I've never put my trust and hope in Jesus and what he's done for me. And I want to come home to God today. I believe you're here not by mistake. And if that's you and you haven't been walking in that relationship with God, and this morning you say, God, I want to come home. With every head bowed and eye closed, we're going to give you an opportunity to make that decision. Again, that's between you and God. Doing so doesn't make you a member of this church. I'm not going to do anything weird or call you up front. This is between you and God. But if that's you today, with every head bowed and eye closed, you say, God, I want to be made right with you. I want to agree with you in prayer. So if that's you, from the front of the room all the way to the back, would you lift up your hands if that's you? Say, Jesus, I want to come home to you. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? You say, I want to come home to God. I want to receive God's free gift of grace. Amen. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the very first time? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you for dying on the cross in my place for my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you into my life and in my heart to be my Lord and Savior, to walk with me through my storms. I want to serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning today? Hallelujah.